All right, Genesis chapter 19 and verses 1 through 11. The subject again, the homosexual revolution. Genesis 19, 1 through 11. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, tarry all night, wash your feet, you shall rise up early and go on your ways." They said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. He made them a feast, did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Watch this. Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fella came in to sojourn, and he must needs be a judge. Now we will deal with thee worse than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. There's a good description of what we want to talk about. Now, I realize it hadn't been that long ago that we took up this subject and dealt with it. Not very long ago, some weeks or months. But for what it is worth, I want to tell you that a sermon on homosexuality on our website is the second most visited sermon of all those hundreds that we have up there. It is the second most downloaded in number. That is, it is in second place on our website. But I feel constrained that we might visit the subject again, not for a couple of reasons that I'll mention rather quickly. Number one, of course, it is right now a very hot-button issue among our society and in our country. It is foremost in the news, and that almost daily, and not likely to ever go away unless something for good from God does occur. In my opinion, well, not my opinion, but it is a fact that the controversy will intensify. It will spread itself even more into every facet of our society. It already has, as to coming into the churches and in Hollywood. It is in the media, who are full force behind it. It is even in our military forces of our day, and now has entered into the realm of professional sports or football. Secondly, as the expression goes, there have been new and ongoing developments in this issue and battle. What they call gay marriage has now been legalized in several states. May I remind you, not by the vote of the citizens, but by a judge overturning the vote of the citizen. That is, the people in the states have voted for traditional marriage between a man and a woman, filed suit, and a liberal judge calls it unconstitutional. If I'm not mistaken, that's happened in 8 states so far, that the will and the vote of the people have been overthrown. Consider something else, and that is that the mayor of the largest city in the state of Texas is a lesbian, has been elected twice, and recently married her longtime female companion and partner, and is pushing very hard right now the homosexual agenda, pushing for fines upon business places that where the feelings of homosexuals might be hurt. And the worst part of the ordinance is, if a man feels that he is trapped, a woman trapped in a man's body, if he's transgender, he can use the ladies' bathroom that's in that part of this ordinance of the mayor. Well, a local weatherman, the number one meteorologist on one of the stations here in Houston, recently married his male lover off in another street. An open lesbian has hosted several awards out of Hollywood. Now, as to public policy, homosexuals can now adopt children, receive benefits and insurance for their domestic partners, and can have a nasty divorce fight. There's one going on in Texas right now. And laws have been passed legitimizing homosexuality and establishing hate crime laws against anybody that would speak out against it and oppose it. You know how well the media loves a good hate crime story. Now, you should remember something, that there are no hate crime laws to punish those who slander and hate Christianity. But we'll say more about this later on in our study. Perhaps the most definitive passage for us to study this subject is the one that we have read in Genesis chapter 19. Here is a part of the history of the life of Abraham being traced out. Here it focuses upon his nephew Lot. Remember, they separated, and Lot went to sojourn eventually in the city of Sodom. Now, there are 2 things to consider about these people and this man. Number one, in Genesis 13 and 13, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20. The cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous. Over in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, where the apostle, speaking of Sodom, speaks of, quote, the filthy conversation of the wicked, unquote. Now, note that the word conversation in the King James does not always refer to speech or to talk or to what they have said or is being said, but it refers to their behavior, their conduct, or their manner of life. As one translated, sensuous conduct of unprincipled men, the nefarious conduct of one unto excess, unquote. 2 Peter 2 and verse 8 speaks of their unlawful deeds, literally their lawless works. As to the nature of their sin, we see in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 5, the last 10 words, and Jude is plain in verse 7 of his little epistle. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Now, there are two words here that are very expressive. A is the word fornication. From the word, I think, ekporneuo, this is the only time I think that it is used in the New Testament. And it might be defined as meaning to be utterly, completely unchaste in life. To be given over to gross immorality and to be licentious in their manner of life and their behavior. And then there's the word be strange. Going after strange flesh. That is different or other, contrary to nature and the ordinance of God Almighty from the beginning. And the second thing we want to notice is what the scripture said about the character of this man called Lot. Scripture views him as a righteous man. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 23, when God told Abraham that he would destroy the city where his nephew was residing, Abraham interceded with God in behalf of Lot, and he said, "Will you also destroy the righteous along with the wicked?" And 2 Peter 2 and 7 again calls him just Lot, J-U-S-T, righteous Lot, or is almost the same word that we have down in verse 8, that righteous man referring unto Lot. Some of his actions were puzzling, and we read one of them, such as offering his very own daughters to the mob before his door and his house that night. Yet what he saw, what he heard, Peter said, was a vexation to his righteous soul. It tortured his soul. It pained him. It tossed him about. And notice, when he faced them, he called their behavior wicked. Genesis 19, verse 7. Compare, if you would, Judges 19 and verse 23. Now, concerning that great uproar in Genesis chapter 19, involving Lot, his family, and his overnight guests that had come through, and the event that brought the lust of the people of Sodom to a boiling point. It brought things, as it were, unto a head. And it cleared the way for the judgment of God to be poured out, visited upon the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. For in this event, with Lot and the angel, they filled their cup of iniquity to overflowing. But then, this is also, the New Testament said, left as an example to others. But one event triggered it, and that's in verse 1. The appearance of two angels in the form and the likeness of men who Lot persuaded to accept his hospitality and spend the night in his house as his guest. Now, there are two things which we single out here for some special attention and looking at. Number one, the kindling of their lust. And it made them militants in the exercise of what Paul calls vile affections in his New Testament scripture. This in verse 4 and verse 5 of our text. Look at the words again. Bring them out unto us that we may know them. We'll have more to say about that later. Secondly, notice their strong, violent reaction to being judged and called wicked by Lot. When he called their action and their intentions wicked, it infuriated them. And they said to him, "Who are you? You're not a native of this city. You are a foreigner. You came to sojourn here, and now do you rise up in judgment against us? We'll show you we will do worse to you than to the men that are in your house. They threatened him with that. Now first, from verse 4 and verse 5, the expression of their evil intent again. Bring the men which came unto you this night. Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now this word know, let's take it up. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is used in a very wide range of meanings when we check it out. It can mean an acquaintance. It can mean to be aware. It can mean to feel or to perceive or to be privy to a certain thing. It is also used, however, and is such in this case, as a modest euphemism for carnal copulation. As in Genesis 4 and verse 1, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and she bare. It's the same word in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. Adam and Eve knew that they were naked, and they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. It's in Luke 1 and verse 34, when Mary asked, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? See also Matthew 1 and verse 25. Thus it is clear that what the men of Sodom, the men at Lot's door, meant in saying that we might know them, bring them out unto us, it is a sin for which they were famous and were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, I think it's clear from two things said and done by Lot that that's the case. A, first of all, in verse 7, he entreated and rebuked them for their request, saying unto them, do not so wickedly. That is, do not this wicked thing. Do not carry out this wicked intention. Do not behave so wickedly toward these men who have sojourned and come under my roof. Now this thought or possibility at this place, though the men were angels in human form, they may have had a goodly outward appearance, and they were, quote, new, unquote, to the men of Sodom. And Lot may not yet have known or recognized that they were angels of God. But I think a second thing there is that confirms the request and the intent of it. B, in verse 8, if you would, Lot offers his two daughters to them, saying, do to them as is good in your eyes. Now, again, compare Judges 19 and verse 23, where the old man there in the text offered and said the same thing. Now, did Lot think that this might abate their lust? Whatever he thought, we cannot excuse him here in his action. John Gills wrote of Lot's proposal, quote, it must be condemned as dangerous and an imprudent action, unquote. Was Lot somewhat like Peter in Mark chapter 9 and verse 6, so startled by what he saw and by what he heard that he didn't know what to say or do, and so he proposed something ridiculous to be done. Be that as it may, let us now consider a second thing, and that is their reaction to Lot's criticism of their lifestyle, especially their addiction to their sexual proclivities, which were practiced in that place. Lot called it wicked. And they might have thought that Lot implied that sodomy was a greater sin than fornication, or that fornication is the more natural. And though Lot did as Matthew Henry put it, mildly and civilly entreat them, unquote. They react in a rude and an abusive way, and they threatened a harm to Lot for his view. We will deal worse with you than with them. And they declared war on the ordinance of God. They ridicule Lot for judging them and threaten him with worse bodily harm than the men that had come in as strangers. And Lot's words were like pouring salt, as it were, in an open sore or wound. And it brought their festering ugliness to erupt in fury. And a riot was in the making, and Lot's life in danger, except the men in the house had come and smitten them with blindness who were there milling about the door. Those, remember, who hate an ordinance of God also hate to hear it, and they mock those that uphold it. You'll almost always find that true. Now, I want to say to you that we have seen this scene from Sodom played out in the streets of our city and of our land. We have heard the pleas for tolerance, inclusiveness, acceptance. We've heard how gay is good and diversity the most beautiful thing upon the face of the earth. That this alternate lifestyle is acceptable and is good. Now, it is strange, I tell you, to hear homosexuals speak this way and their supporters call for tolerance, because they are the most intolerant that are among us today, attacking any who oppose their way of life, calling us hate mongers, ignorant, bigoted, homophobes, and such like. And they have succeeded in politicizing the movement of homosexuality, and a new disease has been invented. It's called homophobia. And new laws have been passed called hate crime laws, and politicians have criminalized certain Christian beliefs and action. Don't be surprised, I tell you, if the government punishes churches that oppose homosexuality by taking away their tax-exempt status, financially ruining them. Under a sinful lifestyle, protected as a guise of civil rights. This has been portrayed as civil right. Also, it has required a new interpretation of the Constitution. The same thing that was done with abortion. Both abortion and homosexual marriage have been declared to be a homosexual constitutional right. And I ask you, how long before euthanasia joins that constitutional right? And they have found willing allies in the liberal media, in liberal politicians, in Hollywood, in progressive politicians, even liberal churches and God haters. For example, I read of a liberal denomination, one of the Carolinas, I don't remember North or South, which homosexual marriage is illegal. And this church denomination is suing the state for the right to perform homosexual marriages in their church. Now, let's shift gears a little bit. We have had the sexual revolution. Most of you remember that. In the 60s and in the 70s. That was the anything goes generation. If it feels good, do it era. It was the generation of the hippie free love movement, when the young rebelled against the traditional church, the family structure, and such like, and even found a friendly ally in some of the churches. And if you remember, it resulted much immorality and the flaunting of unchecked sex, when sex was the subject of almost every TV talk show, and the 60s when we went slouching toward Gomorrah, as Robert Bork has said in his good book. Now that we have the homosexual revolution, we've had the sexual revolution, now comes the homosexual revolution in full swing, mounting a full assault against biblical Christianity. And progressive and liberals and secularists and apostate and other God haters finding homosexuality a convenient weapon and battering ram against biblical Christianity. The revolution, I tell you sadly, is having some success. The war on Christianity seems to be going pretty well at this particular time. And their strategy, when we look at it, seems to be working well enough. Well, they have gained some major victories that you may not have heard about, didn't get much play on the news. I'll give you a few examples. The man had, was it Mullinex? Was that the company? Mullinex lost his job as CEO after it was discovered that he donated $1,000 to stand for traditional marriage. I believe it was in California. Did you get that? He lost his job. His sin? He gave $1,000 to those that were for traditional marriage. Not only that, but a former professional football player turned sportscaster, fired one day after coming out in support of traditional marriage as being between a man and a woman. He was running for a political office at the time, and the sports network fired him the very next day. Have you heard of the Christian photographer in New Mexico fined $6,700 for declining to take photos of a lesbian commitment ceremony? Have you heard of the Christian baker in Oregon facing civil penalties for refusing to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding and her business was closed down? A florist in Washington sued by the state attorney general for declining to provide a floral arrangement for a homosexual wedding. An innkeeper in Vermont fined $30,000 and forced to close her wedding reception business after declining to cater a lesbian ceremony. Any of you remember how they tried to destroy Chick-fil-A? I believe it was just last year, after the owners came out in favor of traditional marriage. You probably heard the great sports uproar, the basketball team in California. Well, one player has already called for the punishment of any team or owner that supports traditional marriage over gay. Now, this does not sound like tolerance unto me, that homosexuals just want to be left alone. They just want to live their life. They're very happy with that, but they're also very hypocritical. Hear this. They don't want to be denied anything because they happen to be homosexual, but they want you to be denied things and even a job if you happen to believe that homosexuality is a sin in the light of the Scripture. Let me give you one more story. This came from AFA website, American Family Association, Pasadena, California. A city health director who is also the pastor of some kind of church there put some sermons on the internet against homosexuality using the Bible. When homosexuality homosexual, complained about it. The man was put on leave from his job with the city, and city council is now, quote, monitoring his sermons, unquote. The story ran in the Los Angeles Times. Quite a story. Now, from these examples, let us make a prediction. Now, let me make a prediction. That is that I'm afraid we've turned the corner, or we are about to turn the corner if we don't crush the head of that old serpent of political correctness. We are almost, and maybe are, at the day when never again will one who openly holds a biblical view of Christianity be allowed to hold a high position in government, in business, or in education, not be a CEO, not be a judge, not be head of a hospital, not a coach, not a police chief, not a principal of the school, not the head of any government agency, if you believe that homosexuality, according to the Scripture, is a sin. Maybe not even own and run their very own business or company, and it even might become a litmus test for jobs in some places. Consider this, and don't be surprised at what I say, and that is if homosexuals begin asking evangelical churches to perform their commitment ceremonies as a strategy. Get that? As a strategy. If refused, they will call a lawyer and sue for discrimination and mental anguish, or they'll call the TV station they favor, and the lead story that night will be of a church guilty of hate crime and discrimination, followed by the story of a kitty who fell in a sewer in Seattle. Now, the goal is not just to be tolerated or accepted, not to be put up with, but to affirm that gay is good and fully legitimize what they call homosexual marriage and full acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle, to normalize it and put it on an equal with heterosexual marriage. Can you see this has the potential to change the true nature and the meaning of marriage forever? Marriage can now be whatever one wants it to be. For example, what if one wanted to marry a beast or some animal? What if brother or sister wanted to marry? What if 10-year-olds wanted to marry? What if an adult wanted to marry a child? Why legalize homosexual marriage while throwing polygamists in prison? Can't people love who they want to? Can't they be married to whoever they want to? It has opened the door wide. You know, schools have Black History Month. How long until they have Gay History Month? When teachers are forced to prostitute themselves to teach homosexuality and teach kids against the Word of God. Need I remind you, there are no hate crimes to protect Christianity. There are no history. There is no Christian History Month. And there is forbidding of Bible reading in the school. Prayers are not allowed in most places. The mention of the name of Jesus is not allowed in many of the school functions of our day. So let's tell it like it is. The homosexual revolution has greatly escalated the war on Christianity, for the two cannot peacefully coexist side by side. It has become a convenient battering ram against Christianity to break down the walls and to throw off the restraint of Scripture and criminalize Christian belief. There are these developments. Number one, liberal apostate preachers and churches whose view they express is this: God loves and accepts all, no matter who they are or what they do. All are God's children, and we should treat them that way. Secondly, not a few are now more tolerant and accepting of homosexuality. Some, they say, are coming around even to the allowing of gay marriage. Thirdly, and this is important, I wish you'd hear it. When a child or anyone comes out to the parents or their classmate, their co-workers, or their friend, it is part of the strategy of homosexuality in coming out. Why? Because knowing a person or loving a child who comes out or being friends with a homosexual tends to blunt and temper former animosity as they judge by what they think of the person and by what the person is unto them, rather than what the Bible has to say about it. I find that the young sometimes, kids, are very proud that they have a gay friend at school and that they are not prejudiced in that light. Still, the acceptance and the celebrating and the legalizing of homosexuality is part of the final plunge of a society into moral decay. Making something legal does not make it righteous, not at all. We must factor in what the Word of God said, that God destroyed the old world for sin and Sodom and Gomorrah for this very sin, this specific sin. We were possibly nearing the time when it will be a crime. It will be a hate crime in our land for a preacher to preach against homosexuality. God cannot be properly recognized and honored by those who embrace such a lifestyle or practice the sin of Genesis 19. Have you read in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9, where he chides the people saying, they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. And he adds, woe unto their soul. They're not ashamed. They're not blushing about their sin. They hide it not. It's out in the open like was that of Sodom. Paul in Romans 1 describes that awful slide into immorality by those who suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness until they began to act contrary unto nature. Woe unto those who forget God. Genesis 19:13. The angel said to Lot, we will destroy this place because the cry is waxen great. We will destroy it. And they made it a standing monument to the people of God as to God's view of this particular sin in any day. Then this word of, shall I call it warning, or word of caution. And that is, they are coming after us. The war is on. The media, the government, most politicians are on their side, making it almost impossible to push back. They will be fired. They will be fined. They will be sent to sensitivity training. I want to close with this. Did you hear that hullabaloo over the first openly gay football player that was drafted into the professional out of college? When his name was called, he gave a great big kiss to his male lover, lip to lip and mouth to mouth. And this was nonstop on the news. Nonstop on the news. I told Dale when it first came out, you watch, the first Christian player in the league that criticizes that will be cut from the team. He will be gone. One has already been forced to apologize for tweeting. And he has been fined, and he has been sent to sensitivity training to get over that homophobia. Now, this word. Some would hear these things. They would accuse me or you of preaching hate. They say you're just spewing venom. That's all you're doing. You're just being divisive. You are a hate monger. Because, you see, we live in a time when truth is called hate. We live in a time when a truth teller is a hater. According to the standard of our society, heresy is called love and being inclusive and all of that. All contemporary movements, sooner or later, affect the church, and the camel gets his nose in the tent of some, but we must ever view it from the light of the Scripture, what the Word of God has to say. This is true about any issue that comes up. It must be viewed from the Word of our God. And that's the final word. I'm Bill McDaniel, and I approve this message.